Good morning. It's exciting to be here. This message does have a handout. Gloria thinks I'm involved with the tree company, but I'm not. Does anybody not have a handout? It's a two-sided one. She has some more there. So just stick up your hand and she'll give them out. It's kind of amazing how things always fall into place. I thought Terry was just going to keep going and preach my sermon for me because I'm preaching on Psalm 103. And the words of the songs that you chose, songs that talked about the Lord's names, the different messages, everything, Wally, even what you were talking about, it all fits in. And that's just always so much fun. It's fun preaching because you get to talk about very exciting things. It's fun to preach today because Norm left me unattended, so any stories I tell will be unchallenged. So it's very good. Anyway, we heard words about burdens, we heard about the Lord. A question for you is, did any of you wake up this morning super psyched about the day, just so happy to go to church, to worship the Lord, to get on with it? Kevin, I know you were overjoyed to come to church. Anybody else really, really excited? That's awesome. Excellent. Well, I don't have prophetic gifting that I know of, but as far as I know, this today is the only October 15, 2017 that you'll ever get. And that is also a day, according to Psalm 118, verse 24, it's a day that the Lord has given you as a gift. And each moment of this day is a gift from Him to you. And He has told us that we are to rejoice and be glad in that. And if you think about having that kind of mentality, if you would go about your day just rejoicing and being glad in the day, would it look any different? If you think about the people in your house operating that way, would it look any different? I think it would. And yet, that can sound so lovely, but can in reality be difficult to actually live out, especially if you watch the news, you read things around you, you look at work anxiety, health issues, some of that stuff that Wally's talking about, personal things, family things. It can be really easy sometimes to lose heart, and you get almost a sense of hopelessness or just sort of like, like this. And we're aware that anxiety disorders, depression, the use of antidepressants is really on the rise in society, but also very much in the church. And it seems like we can easily, if we're not careful, get into just surviving. Maybe I'll just get through today, and then tomorrow should be a little bit better. I think all of us have those kind of moments. Apparently, however, Christians are supposed to be living a joyous, fulfilled life, you know, rejoice and be glad in it and all that stuff. And yet it seems in day-to-day living sometimes that just sort of eludes us. There's so many things you can't change. You can't go sit down with Donald Trump and just straighten the boy out, right? And you can't go to North Korea and do a few things down there. So how can we go about rejoicing and be glad in our day where it's not just like a positive thinking exercise? Well, I think this Psalm 103 that Terry so lovely did a lovely job introducing is part of what God is calling us. And I think when we get what the reality is of Psalm 103, it's almost like you have a bit of a spa moment, a wind down, a time to just think things differently. And part of the answer for that is in our right thinking and then in adjusting our focus accordingly. So if I could have slide one, Paul. This is a helpful little tool that I've often used, and I have shared this here before, that I often come back to when I recognize I'm spinning out of control. And this is an ABC. It shows that our basic thinking is as basic as ABC is very important to us. In this system, an action, and we won't debate this philosophically, but an action is generally neutral. It's not good, it's not bad, it just is. We're not talking about sin and all those kind of things. But the consequence of an action on me or to you depends on the belief system that we filter it through. So I'll give you a silly little example. Suppose last week you had a day that you woke up and it was not a good day. You didn't sleep well, the dog was sick, the kids were cranky, and oh my goodness, it was just one of those bad, awful, stupid, ugly days. Do any of you ever have those? Yeah, well, we got a few. But you're going to work. So you're driving to work, and you're in a, your belief system is this day sucks, right? So you're driving to work, and somebody cuts you off. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just neutral. But your belief system is that it's a stupid day. Well, what's the result of that person cutting you off? You say some words maybe you don't really want to say. You might have trouble with some fingers. You're just furious, right? You just want, oh, that person, and they should never have given a license, and what's wrong with Campbell River and these stupid drivers, and you can go on and on and on, and you've just worked yourself into a whole tizzy, right? Then you've had a couple nights, good night's rest, and everything's going good, and oh man, you're going to work and the Lord is in his heavens and you're fine, you know all that. You're driving to work and the same person cuts you off. It's not good, it's not bad, he just cuts you off again. What's the consequence now?
Pray.
Yeah, oh yes, now you pray. You don't think as evilly of that person, right? Oh my, that guy's going to get into an accident, right? Your thinking is way different about exactly the same action because of a belief system that you filtered it through. Well, I find that helpful for me when I'm spinning out to see, okay, what's this coming from? What am I believing? But Scripture has actually a lot to say about how we think. In Proverbs 27:3, and I love the King James Version, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As a person thinketh in their heart, so you're thinking and your heart's involved, so he is. So what are you thinketh-ing? And that's a very important question. Statistically, the average person, and let's just say we're all average, the average person from the time people wake up till the time they go to sleep, we have between 40 and 50,000 thoughts a day. And those are tiny little things like, oh, I got to remember to pick up milk. Or they can be big, profound conversations. But we have 40 to 50,000. That's a lot of thoughts for that little brain of ours. But apparently, of that amount, 75% tend to be negative. And that can be just like, oh, I don't like that color. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. So if 75% tend to be negative, that means you have on average 30,000, between 30,000 and 500,000 negative thoughts a day. So if that's the case, it's easy to get caught up into a bit of a negative cycle. Add to that some of the stuff that's going on in the world, in your own life. But this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And how can you actually do that? And what's so beautiful about our God, and it's just so God, is he doesn't just command you, okay, go. Tom, go out there. Be joyful. What he does is he also tells us how to do that. And then on top of that, has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do that. I mean, what kind of a guy is that? What kind of a God is that? But he does. And then he gives us all these different reasons that the worship team was talking about and leading us in to praise him. Now, if we could have slide 2, in Romans 12, verse 2, Paul says to us, don't conform. This is about our thinking, okay? So this is our belief system. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Stop it. He's saying stop letting the world form your thinking, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you let that happen, look at the results. You get to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Might that be a little bit better than some of our stuff? Yeah, just maybe. And I think what Paul's saying here is that our negative thinking, our despair, our poor attitudes, and all those things we struggle with can be changed if we renew our mind. And that's a process. And I find it a fascinating concept that we can actually renew our mind. I very often get really frustrated with my own mind and wonder many things about it. And I forget, Angela, that's nice. We forget that we can actually renew this. You renew your ICBC stuff. You renew your Visa cards. You renew memberships. Well, what about your mind? Are you actually renewing your mind? As a person thinketh, so he or she is. So what kind of person are you? What kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be that kind of person that Paul's talking about in Romans? And the chief thing we need to do if we want to renew our mind is we need to be informed and transformed by Scripture. And Barry had an awesome sermon about that last week. You really should listen to it. That means reading, studying, memorizing, and then the special part, applying it to our lives. And we need to get into our bones, our mind, our soul, our heart. And then Paul, if we could have slide 3. And when we do that, Paul says that we can actually demolish arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. When we actually get that stuff in us, we can do this. We can demolish arguments and every pretensions that set themselves up against God. And we do that in part by taking captive every thought and making it obedient to Christ. I had a friend who used to tell me that regularly, Jane, take every thought captive, take every thought captive. And I just thought, just shut up. I don't know what you mean. How can I do that? But what was happening with my ABCs was my B, my belief system was very, very negative about myself, about the world, about God, about church, about everything. And that belief system was what one counselor called stinking thinking. It was informed by the pattern of the world. It was not informed by God. So what I learned to do was to see, well, if that's what I'm believing, does it line up with Scripture? And if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then why am I believing it? That doesn't make any sense. And that becomes a process that you learn to do, and therein you learn to slowly renew your mind. So being intricately, intimately involved with Scripture is essential, as is being an active part of a gospel-preaching, grace-filled, spirit-filled church, because we need to help one another. We need fellowship. Just this morning, what happened this morning, we need to have that for our own well-being. And when we do that, we help one another with our focus. We help one another with those basic ABCs. And we really can only focus on one thing at a time. So what you choose to focus on has a huge influence on what happens to you. So if we pull it together, we've got God's command, rejoice and be glad in this day. There's a lot of negative, nasty stuff happening around us, and we have to fight with about 75% of our thoughts being negative as well, but we're also supposed to transform our mind. So what would that possibly look like? Well, this Psalm 103, so that's one side of your handout, I think is one of the tools that God's given us that shows us how to do it. So this was written over 1,000 years before Christ, and was written by King David. And King David is a man who knew how to keep his focus in the middle of horrible, horrible things. I was once told that advice is worth as much as it costs, and David paid a lot to learn what he learned. And so he comes from a place that many of us can relate to. One of the things about David is he was very strong and courageous, as you remember. He fought lions, he fought bears as a shepherd. He also was the one who killed Goliath. But his life was lived during very tumultuous times. There were many, many wars. His job was to free the nation of the enemy. So he fought many wars and was involved in many, and thousands upon thousands died, including his friends and his family. A few times, King David had to literally run for his life. His life was in danger. We most of us know the story about David with Bathsheba, where he committed adultery because he lusted after her, and then she got pregnant, so he had her husband killed so that he could have her, just out of complete selfish gain. So it was a messy, messy stuff that he was involved in. And the result of that, their first child died within 7 days of birth. And you read about that, and it's heart-rending. Later on, his adult son, Absalom, also died in a battle against David. David had to deal with incest in his family. So he's not a man, he's a man after God's own heart. Scripture says that, but he's a man who knew junk. He knew hard times. And this isn't just a pretty little song that came to him one day. And apparently, if you know the Hebrew, it's supposed to be stunningly beautiful. It's alphabetical, and there are all kinds of little couplets in there. But he writes from that messed up place, and I think he models for us how to do what Terry was talking about, how to live this joy-filled life. So I'm going to go through it fast, so you have to follow, okay? And it's exciting, and I kind of go faster and tend to spit a bit when I get excited, but it's amazing. So he starts off by commanding his soul to bless the Lord. And bless includes praise, it includes glorifying, it includes speaking well of, it includes endowing with favor. And he's saying to himself, bless the Lord, everything inside of me, not just, yeah, bless the Lord, yeah, whatever. He's saying, everything inside of me, you go for it. You bless the Lord. You make that your focus right now, soul. This is your job to do. I am choosing right now to bless you. That's what he's telling his soul to do. And throughout the psalm, he uses different words to describe God. If you look at verse 1, he talks about God's holy name. In verse 8, he refers to God as compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Verse 11, again, great love. Verse 13, he talks about the Lord's compassion. Verse 17, he talks about everlasting love. This entire psalm is so loaded with stuff that David tries to describe God and can't describe God just sheerly like God without somehow it affecting him again, because that's how God is. He's just so overloadedly for us. So David's saying, come on, soul, let's go. Let's bless the Lord. And then in verse 2, sorry, see, it is getting exciting. Then in verse 2, he tells us why. Why do you want to do that? Look at the list. Verse 3, you know what, soul? We're going to bless the Lord because he forgives all your sins and he heals all your diseases. And that's not all. He redeems your life from the pit and he crowns you with love and compassion. This is a crowned king of Israel who's talking about the Lord crowning him with love and compassion. That's what's important for him. Crowns you with love and compassion. And you know what else? He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, if that's true for any of you, even if just part of it is, then you also have reason to bless the Lord. But then in the next section, so he's talking about his personal benefits. Now he goes into the benefits of God's reign and his mercies towards his people. So look at this. Okay, soul, you want to know why you should bless the Lord? Well, because verse 6, he works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses. He talks to our people. He made his ways known and his deeds to our people. In verse 8, he's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and he abounds in love. And you know what else? He doesn't even accuse you forever or harbor his anger against you. He doesn't even treat your sins as you deserve. He doesn't repay you for what you have done. Because you know why? Because in verse 11, he says to his soul, because as high as those heavens are above the earth, that's how great his love is for those of us who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. All that stuff, soul, is a reason to praise the Lord. And you know what else? He's a father who has so much compassion on his children, on those who fear him. And each one of those lines is really cause for a pause. Each one of those lines you could actually do deep meditation on. And each one of those lines is backed up with numerous scripture passages and stories. And each one of those benefits is available to all of us who believe. And if you're not sure if you believe in this God, well, I think it's worth checking out the benefit package. And remembering these benefits is extremely important, because when you're remembering, when you're thinking about them, it helps you put things back in perspective. It helps you focus on blessing the Lord. Because when I'm remembering what God has done, I have forgotten what I have done. Because I'm thinking about him and I'm focused on what he has done, who he is, and his deeds. And when that happens, and you train yourself in this, you work at this, we always need to be reminded of this. When that happens, ever so slowly, your mind, in my case very slowly, your mind gets transformed, and it's no longer conformed to the pattern of this world. When I ponder on the personal benefits and promises, something in me starts changing. Because all of a sudden, I get a measure of peace and comfort because I'm remembering who this amazing God is. David wrote this 1,000 years before Christ. If we've accepted Jesus and we've received the Holy Spirit, we have those benefits that David talks about, and we are now completely different people. We are now, Paul, if I could have slide 4, we are now, in fact, a new creation. You might not recognize it because you see me all the time, but I actually am a new creation. Not only that, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves me. And I am also the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That's who you are in Christ. And on the back of your handout, there are some more statements, both names of God, which are worthy of study, but also more of who we are in Christ. And if that is part of our perspective, that makes a big difference. That's not positive thinking. That's not, I really will make this happen. I am declaring, when I say those things, when we read those scriptures, we are declaring what God says. We are declaring what He has done, and we are declaring who we are and who He is and what we have in Him. And then if you take that back to the ABCs, if my belief is that what David describes about God is true, if my belief is that I have all these benefits and so much more, that I am now a new person, then whatever happens to me has changed. Because I can stay in that place of who God is, like David was. And that sounds good, right? That sounds good. Thanks, Jerry. But for me, and some of what happened this morning was interesting, because for me, verses 3 through 6 actually throw that into a bit of a tailspin. Because David lists some personal benefits, and they sound lovely, but when you read them, it can cause a crisis of faith. Because he says he heals all our diseases, there's still disease and sickness around. In fact, that's causing some of the hardships. He says that the Lord redeems our life from the pit, but sometimes our life feels like it is the pits. He says that the Lord satisfies our desire with good things. There's many more good things that I would like to have. And he says that the Lord renews our youth like the eagles. Well, I got to tell you, from my age perspective, oil of Olay isn't working anymore. And I'd like to have a little bit of that. And I don't see it. And I don't always see God working righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Listen to Wally's story this morning. So what about that? How can David, King David, the man who screwed up so much, was a man after God's own heart and had to deal with so much heartache himself, say that? Is he just having an unrealistic, pious, holy moment? Is it wishful thinking? I don't think so. I think it's like a zoom lens. He zooms in on something and then he zooms back out. If you look at that section, verse 13 through 19, he makes some very profound statements both about God and about humanity. So his belief is, verse 13, that the Lord has compassion. He has compassion on those who fear him. Verse 14, then he says, this same Lord, we're talking about the Lord, he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. How's that feel? And verse 15 and 16, our days are like grass. We flourish like a flower. The wind blows over and it's gone. So we've got this Lord and we've got this frail, dust-like substance. And David is not degrading us. Remember all the other things that he has said about this God. And if you read Psalm 139 and some of the other Psalms, you see that he knows that the Lord totally has made us, intricately, loves us, died for us. But there's a massive contrast here between frail, dust, humanity, and our Lord. We are frail. We are like dust. But look at verse 17. But, and I love that word sometimes, but from everlasting to everlasting, That's a very, very long time. Duracell batteries have nothing on that. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And the Lord's righteousness is with his with their children's children. And, verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. And it's the Lord's kingdom that rules over all. With that ABC stuff, what I often recognize when I go into tailspins is that I have removed the Lord from the throne and I have put myself there. And that's not the right order. David's system is both and. God is this amazing God. He is absolutely crazy about his people. He's in charge. And we are so loved by him, and we are so frail, and we are so small in comparison. That's the system that David comes from. That's what puts his life in perspective. Because he knows who his God is, because he knows God's character and his own character, his ABCs line up for him. So if you read, for example, 1 Samuel 24 and 26, those are the two stories where David had to run for his life from Saul. And he was being chased. So Saul and his men are chasing David and his men. So the action would be, he's being oppressed by Saul and had to run for his life. David believed, his belief system was, God's in control, God loves me, God will work justice. And because of that, the consequence for David was that he did not avenge or kill Saul. God took care of that. David's own men in both those stories had a bit of a different belief system. They thought, we can do them in. You know, this is your chance. Come on, you have every right to. But David said, no, God's in control. I don't have to make this happen. So David was able to rest in the fact that God would take control. Did he like the situation? No. But God was in control, and he left it up to God. So if our belief system is that what David says about God is true, and Paul, if I could have the slide 5, and if you add, and there's so many more passages to this, and it's amazing. If we add to this what God tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, where he says, you guys, my thoughts and your thoughts aren't quite the same. My ways and your ways aren't quite the same. As the heavens, in fact, are higher than the earth, so are my ways, God says, higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So if that's true, then my belief system should line up with God's, because his thoughts might just be a little better than mine, right? They're higher than the pattern of the world, and we let God's stuff transform ours. Then Paul adds in Romans 11, verse 33 and 34, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Isn't that a beautiful wording? The depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And then he says, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? If we have that belief system about God, then what happens in our lives changes. And that, with that belief system, we can say, soul, bless the Lord. In the middle of this, bless the Lord. It's not about this. It's about blessing the Lord. And then you can say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And David, he can't help himself. He gets so excited about this. He ends up, if you look at the final section of that psalm, he started off with his personal benefits, then he went over to the kingdom rule over Israel, and then at the end, he's calling on the angels to join him in praise. This guy gets kind of carried away, eh? He says, bless the Lord, you his angels! Come on, let's all go for it. You mighty ones who do his bidding, you who obey his word. Bless the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works. Now he's calling on creation. Everywhere in his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's what he's commanding. He's focusing on one thing, and it's blessing the Lord. As a person thinketh, so he or she is. So how do you think? You get to choose to renew your mind, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And when you have those moments, when you can make yourself switch to that, at those moments you have, it's almost like a little spa day, a little spa moment, a little bit of relaxation, and you unwind. And this isn't just something that's written, you know, 1,000 years ago, way back in Bible days. This is actually stuff that works. And one of my precious friends, Deb, has shared a testimony with me, and I've asked her to share this with you as well, to show you how blessing the Lord changes things. So, come on, Deb.
When Jane asked me to come and share with you, I was delighted. I was delighted because it was an opportunity to share about God's goodness and what He's done in my life. And it's interesting because my beginning was, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. So the song this morning and then Jane's preaching is just amazing to me. And so thank you, Jane. Some of you know that I have an inoperable brain tumor. To say it's caused trouble for me is an understatement. However, when I am weak, my father is strong. I don't know who my biological father is, but I've been adopted. And I've been adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And whenever I say that, it just thrills my soul because I think, here I am, a daughter, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, God's presence has never left me. It's always been with me. And one of the symptoms of this brain tumor have been seizures. And I take meds for the seizures. And last year, they came back and I had a seizure, and then shortly after, I had another seizure. And when I have these seizures, I don't have much time to think. I just usually try and hit the floor or the couch or the bed. And I found myself in the kitchen leaning over a granite counter with a tile floor, and I was frozen. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. And I knew that I was going to have a seizure. And it was interesting because it just caught me off guard, but I was leaning over and I heard this gentle voice say to me, pray in tongues. And you know, my first, I was still thinking at this point, and I thought, well, I can't speak. Like, how could I pray in tongues? I can't speak. And I just thought that, and God knows my heart. And He said it again, very quietly, pray in tongues. So I opened my mouth because, you know, if God tells you to do something, you should do it. But if you don't and He tells you again, you should definitely do it. So I thought, well, okay. And I opened my mouth and out came tongues. But not just in my, you know, weak little voice, but it was like powerful. And I stood up. I could move. I had, like, nothing had happened. Nothing had changed other than now I was speaking in tongues. But nothing changed. It was like I never had a seizure or I was going into it. It was just like it was snapped. It was gone. Poof. And so I thought, that was amazing, God. Thank you. Thank you. That's amazing. So then I went to speak in English and I couldn't speak in English, but I could still speak in tongues. So I just rejoiced and I was so glad that, you know, my father was right there with me the whole time. He was with me. And I just felt very thankful and grateful to my God my Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, the week, I'll make this quick because I realize that I only have 5 minutes, right? Jane told me 5 minutes. So the week before, Jane asked me if I would just give that piece of testimony. I had had like kind of an awful week, and it was very challenging, and I didn't know what was wrong, because every morning I wake up and I'm like, I'm still here. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm still here. I praise you. I love you. And there was a real spirit of heaviness on me, and I didn't know why, because like I'm not a depressed kind of person, but it was heavy in my house, and I was alone. Eric was away, and it was less than pleasant. And I'm telling God, I'm saying, hey, God, like, what's with this? Like, I don't like this feeling. It's a horrible feeling. Like, what is this? Where is this from? And God gave me this scripture, and he just said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And so I said it quickly and then said it again. And then it was like God said, slowly. So I said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And even now, like, as I say it, I get goosebumps, like, it's just, you know, I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I just was so moved by God's word and him telling me, him leading me right where to go, what to say. And I said it a few times, and then I was singing it, and it was remarkable because that spirit of heaviness that had settled, I had a garment of praise. It was gone. And so that's just a couple of things that, there's so much more. Like, I could go on and on and on and tell you all that God has been doing for me. And it's amazing. Like, he loves me. Like, he loves me. And it is amazing. And he loves you. And anyway, I think my time is up, right? My boss. But I just want to say one thing. But last night, just before that, God woke me up in the middle of the night. And I know it was God. And what he said to me, it was just so clear. It was, listen to me, do what I say, focus on Jesus. So I'm sitting in my bed, listen to me, do what I say, focus on Jesus. Okay, God, I'll get a pen. So I got a pen, wrote it down, and thought, because I was struggling, because I thought, what do I say, you know, to people? Like, what do I say? But God gave me that. So I wrote it down, and then last night I was reading, and I came across something that Corrie Ten Boom used to say all the time. Look within and be depressed. Look without and be distressed. Look on Jesus and have sweet rest. Thank you.